Want to tell you this a story this morning about a little boy and an old man. The little boy's name was Samuel. Before I get started, let's pray. Almighty God, give us ears to hear your word for us today, lips that speak your truth, and hearts to love one another in Jesus' name. Amen. Samuel was a well-loved child. His mother, Hannah, had not been able to have children, and she had prayed for a son forever. And then she did what many of us do. She bargained with God. You know, if you do this for me, I'll do that for you. Anybody here ever bargained with God? Don't put your hands up. It's actually not supposed to be something we do, but in desperate circumstances, we all do it, don't we? We say things like, take my life and leave his. Well, Hannah made that kind of a statement to God. She said, God, if you give me a son, I will give him back to you as a priest. Sure enough, when he was old enough, I think he was 2. Can you imagine? She took him to the sanctuary and gave him to the priest to raise, a priest named Eli. And I can't imagine but think that her heart was breaking. But every year she'd go to see him, and she'd take a cute little coat that she had made for him, clothes. She did the motherly kind of thing from a distance. And Samuel grew strong and faithful, powerfully committed to God. And Eli was a good mentor, tutor. Substitute father. And so Samuel grew strong. But Eli... Eli had a couple of kids of his own. Anybody here grow up with PKs? You know what a PK is, a preacher's kid? You know the reputation of PKs? The wildest kids in the church? Preacher's kids? I had one of those, and the other one was a shy introvert until his brother went away to college. Then he became an actor. Go figure. But preacher's kids are reputed to be the wildest kids in the church, the wildest kids in the town. No limits on them. Don't know why. And Eli had a couple of those. They were from the priestly strata of society in the Hebrew culture of the time, and they were supposed to grow up to be priests too in the style of Eli, but they were more interested in stealing and carousing and stealing money from the sanctuary, actually, and using it for purposes we wouldn't think of as holy. And they would carouse and have a good time, and what they thought was a good time. Had a terrible reputation, and God was not pleased with the behavior of Eli's sons. Perhaps that's why God gave Hannah a son to take to the temple so he would know that there was somebody to follow Eli. More than likely, that's the reason. And that takes us to today's scripture, which is often in Bibles called the Lord calls Samuel. I'm in the third chapter of 1 Samuel. There are 2 books of Samuel in the Bible, in the Old Testament. And in the third chapter, starting at verse 1, the boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, anybody here in that condition? He was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord. I want to take just a little detour here for a moment. Many translations say that he was in the temple of the Lord, but the temple hadn't yet been built. So the Hebrew word that's being translated here actually often refers to the tabernacle. So this isn't an out-of-sequence event in the Old Testament. He was in their place of worship, but it was not yet what we think of as the temple in Jerusalem. This was probably the movable tabernacle. And it says the lamp of God had not yet gone out. Now that's a clue for us to know what time of day it was. The priests, from the time of Aaron, had been instructed by God to keep a light burning in the temple from dusk till dawn. But it would often go out a little before sunrise, and that was okay. So it wasn't that they had lit a lamp to read by before they went to bed and it would be extinguished, you know, by midnight on its own. It wasn't a self-timed lamp that was hanging in the living room. This was a light that they were instructed to keep burning in the place of worship in case somebody came at night. It was to light the way. And so we know that because the lamp had not yet gone out, it was the middle of the night. It wasn't yet dawn. And Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. Well, a little description for those of you who don't exactly remember the construction of this tabernacle, this holy place. There was a curtain that separated the holiest of holies at the very front, highest part of the temple, of the tabernacle, of the synagogue. And that was a place where even the priest only went once a year. So more than likely, Samuel was laying somewhere on steps or in a bed. We don't know. We don't have details about it. Close to that holiest of holies, the Ark of the Covenant. And then the Lord called Samuel. Okay, it says here, the Lord called Samuel, but one of the first things I read was, in those days the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. So this is an unusual circumstance. This isn't something that happened every day to everybody. Samuel answered, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me," because he didn't recognize it to be the word of God, the voice of God. He thought Eli was calling him. Eli was so old, somebody asked, how old was he? More than likely, it was not unusual for Eli to call Samuel in the middle of the night and ask him to fetch something. You know, a drink of water or something else that he needed. So, of course, Samuel thought when he heard a voice calling his name that it was Eli. And Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." So he went and lay down. Sounds a little bit like Eli was awakened from a deep sleep. Again, the Lord called Samuel. And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me." "My son," Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. Now, I just told you that he'd been growing up in the temple under the instruction of Eli, learning to be a priest, but he did not yet know the Lord? Well, no, he didn't have a personal relationship with him. He hadn't yet started talking to him. He was offering sacrifices, as the priest did. He was caring for the temple. But not everybody that's in church has a personal relationship with God. Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. And the Lord called Samuel a third time. And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me." Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood there calling as at the other time, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." And the Lord said to Samuel, "See, I am about to do something in Israel that will make the ears of everyone who hears of it tingle." Carl, what makes your ears tingle? Hot sauce? Lois looked at Carl and said, "Me." Anybody have tingly ears this morning? "I'm about to do something that will make the ears of everyone who hears of it tingle. At that time, I will carry out against Eli everything I spoke against his family from the beginning to the end." God is warning Samuel that he's going to punish Eli's family. Oops. "For I told him that I would judge his family forever because of the sin he knew about. His sons made themselves contemptible, and he failed to restrain them. Therefore I swore to the house of Eli, the guilt of Eli's house will never be atoned for by sacrifice or offering." Samuel lay down until morning and then opened the doors of the house of the Lord. He was afraid to tell Eli the vision. But Eli called him and said, "Samuel, my son." Samuel answered, "Here I am." "What was it he said to you?" Eli asked. "Do not hide it from me. May God deal with you, be it ever so severely, if you hide from me anything he told you." So Samuel told him everything, hiding nothing from him. Then Eli said, "He is the Lord. Let him do what is good in his eyes." This is the word of God for us today. Anybody else have a smart alecky grandson who knows more than you do? Eli was old enough to be Samuel's grandfather. Eli's eyesight wasn't the only thing that was failing. Eli was becoming infirm in other ways. He had been a good priest, but he had failed to control his sons, and so they'd run amok. And here he was in failing days, perhaps feeling like a failure because of his sons. God had already warned him. And here is this 12-year-old kid, that's how old we think Samuel was, who's having visions in the middle of the night. Visions, I'm sure, Eli wanted to have. He wanted God to speak to him. Every follower of God wants to hear God's voice, right? Wouldn't you like to have God actually speak to you and tell you? But what if the next voice you heard after you'd prayed for God to speak to you was some smart alecky 12-year-old kid speaking for God? I do not like it when my grandson, my 8-year-old grandson Joseph, knows more than I know. And he does. He got this new watch for Christmas, and there's some kind of software called Gizmo that allows 8 people close to him in his life to talk to him, and we can video chat with him and text him, and he had to show me how to use it. He's 8 years old. Eli knew God was speaking to Samuel. And he could have said, I'll just ignore this. It'll go away. I'm not going to tell the kid that God's talking to him because God isn't talking to me. Could have been a sour grapes kind of a situation. But Eli had the wisdom and the devotion and the dedication to know that when God speaks, no matter who God is speaking to, we have to listen. And if God was speaking to Samuel, it was important for Samuel to listen. Usually, when I preach this scripture, I do it from Samuel's viewpoint, and I say, don't fall asleep in church, because God might speak to you. It's dangerous to fall asleep in church. And I talk about Samuel's faithfulness, but look at Eli here and what he did. He not only told the kid, listen to God, tell God you're ready, but he also then trusted him to relay God's message. He must have had an inkling that it was not going to be pleasant truth that he was going to hear. Now, who here has owned their own business? You owned your own business, didn't you, Bob? Okay. What if God, one of your employees came to you and said to you, God spoke to me in a dream and told me I'm supposed to take over the business.
I'm going to hit the door.
Bob said he would tell them to hit the door. But in effect, isn't that what happened here? Eli's employee came to him and said, I'm supposed to usurp your sons. They're going to be destroyed by God, and I'm supposed to take over as priest. This was not easy news for Samuel to hear, and for Eli to hear. And what did he say? He said, He is the Lord. Let him do what is good in his eyes. He knew his sons were idiots and shouldn't take over the temple. He knew that God was wise, all wise, and would give them the right advice. But he trusted that Samuel had actually had a vision from God and wasn't just making this stuff up so he could take over the temple. He trusted a 12-year-old with the future of their entire people. What a remarkable act of faith. What does this have to do with us today? What if you were expecting to hear the voice of God, and the voice of God came through the mouth of someone so young that it was hard to believe? But we say out of the mouths of babes, don't we? We believe that young people are often so innocent, so pure, that perhaps they are more able to speak God's truth to us. We do believe that we learn from children. Well, our church is going to start a visioning process in February on a yet-to-be-determined Saturday. We have someone coming in to lead us in that process. And the person I've invited is in her 20s. The future is hers. The future's not mine, not anymore. She's on the connectional table globally for the United Methodist Church. She works in the conference office. But more importantly, she knows what the millennial generation, the generation that we don't have here in church, wants and needs in order to worship. And we need to hear from her. And trust that God can speak through somebody much younger than most of us are. And without the accumulation of wisdom, I think I ought to be able to share with the world. And I need ears to listen and a heart that's open. And so do we all. Let's pray. Almighty God, to you all hearts are known already. All of our desires, and yet we pour them out to you anyway because we must speak them to know, to remind ourselves that you are listening. And as we face the future, keep us unafraid. Keep us faithful and hopeful and motivated, even if we must face change. Give us hearts that are faithful, hands that are open to receive your blessings, and hands that are willing to pour out your love to others. For we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all this day and forevermore. Amen.